Yeah. Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
If you're a guest, my name's Chris. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm so thrilled that you are here. Thank you for joining us today. If you don't know me or my family, there's one thing that as you get close to us, you will know, and that a couple of my kids are hardcore gamers, okay? I got three kids. Two of them love video games. And my youngest son, Calvin, he was really the one who kind of introduced us all to this whole gaming world. When he was about 4 or 5 years old, we got the Nintendo Wii. It was this brand new thing. And so we brought it into our house. And here's the thing. I mean, kid can't read, you know, 4 years old. He can't write. We get this Wii plugged in, and he turns on. It's like flipping a switch, and like he's just playing Super Mario Brothers for hours on end, and he's just killing it. I mean, he has friends over who are his age, and they're crying because they're scared of Bowser. And Calvin's just beep, bop, ba, doop, and he's just killing it. I mean, he is a hardcore gamer. And because of that, I try to share interests with my kids as often as possible and do things with them. And so I would try to play Super Mario Brothers with my son as often as we could. And this is what happened when I would play Super Mario Brothers with Calvin. Now, again, understand, Calvin is just like, he's like a game prodigy. He's a savant, you know, at that stuff. And so he's Mario, and he's just killing it. He's moving fast. He's hitting all his jumps. He's, you know, like, you know, you play Super Mario Brothers, if you've ever played it, you got to jump and land on the bad guys. Like, when I play the game, I jump and I miss, and then I try again and I kind of miss, and then maybe the third time I'll hit it. Calvin's just bloop, 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 like all in a row. He's just incredible. So when he plays, he's just blasting through. When I play with him, I'm hanging in the background because I'm like, oh, wait, I want to get these coins. Oh, wait, there's some extra power because I lost my power getting hit, and I need to get it. And so I'm trying to just get everything I can, and I'm getting killed all by the mushrooms and the turtles. And if you don't play Mario, Google it. You'll get it. And so, like, I'm hanging back, and Calvin's just blasting ahead. Now, in the newer version of Super Mario Brothers, if you lag, you die. Okay, so this is what happens to the screen. The screen is like this, and the player that is in front, who's like moving forward, the screen goes with him, okay? And if I'm back here, this is what happens. And it just kind of eats me. The screen just, and I'm just gone. And so every time we'd play, I would die, and I'd be so frustrated. I'd be like, Calvin, you have to slow down. You have to wait for me. What are you doing? I'm sorry, Dad, sorry. And so then we'd play again, and stinking, he'd leave me behind again. And here I am, I'm standing on the edge of a cliff, and I'm waiting to jump over. And then, oh, nope, the wall of the screen pushes me into the cliff, and I'm dead. because Calvin can't wait. And I get it, because here's what Calvin wants. Calvin just wants to beat that level and level up. He wants to get through that thing. He wants to win. He wants to beat it and get ahead. And we can all kind of relate at some level to like that urge to get ahead. There's things that we all have in our lives where we want to level up and move forward. You know, for some of us, it's getting that raise or promotion. And it's like, man, I got to push. I got to keep going. I got to level up in where I'm working. You know, some of us want to upgrade our car or our home. And it's like everything we do is just oriented around pushing forward to level up our quality of life. You know, I don't want my kids to have to share a bedroom anymore, so I want to level up my house so everyone can have their own bedroom. I need enough room in my car for all the kids and all the groceries and all that stuff, and I want Bluetooth, you know, so that I can listen to my music off my phone. So I need to upgrade and level up my vehicle. I need to level up that stuff. You know, some of us have a relationship in our lives that we want to level up. Maybe you're dating someone. And, or maybe you're not dating someone, but you want to be dating someone. It's like, I got to level up this relationship, dude. And so, you know, you're pushing towards that. There's the goals. There's things that you want to advance and push towards and get ahead. For some of us, we have a daily level up, and that's just getting to bed at the end of the night, right? It's like, I'm laying down. It's like, okay, I did it. Let me turn on some, you know, Cartoon Network and just veg out. You know, that's, for some of us, that is exactly what we need to level up. But all of us can understand this concept of wanting to move forward, of wanting to win, of wanting to strive and to get ahead. And it may be in different ways, but we all have a goal that we're working towards. Every one of us wants to win. We want that next goal. We want that next win. Football season really starts today. Like, it kicks off today. Some of you guys wore your team jerseys. I almost wore mine, but I thought to myself, oh, you know what? No one's going to be wearing jerseys today, and I don't want to look dumb. And not look dumb because I'm not wearing a jersey. But football season starts today. And think about this. Half of the teams in the NFL are going to be losers today. Half the teams are going to win. Half of the entire league are going to lose. That means half the entire league is going to go into their locker room after playing an hour-long football game, well, an hour of quarters, but several hours on the field, where they're going to go to the locker room and they will have lost. And here's what I guarantee you, you will not hear in the locker room. You will not hear someone walking in going, oh my gosh, guys, wow, what a great game. I mean, I know we lost, but that was so much fun. God, man, we just went out there to have a good time, and we accomplished that. Way to go, guys. And they're just five. Yeah, good job, guys. We had fun. Nobody's doing that, right? Because the goal is to win. We want to win. We want to move ahead. Having fun on the field is not enough. And so because in some areas of our lives, whatever it is for you, we all want to win. We all want to get ahead somehow, and we all want to level up. We're going to be talking about several ways that we can do that. And we're going to be talking about four key areas of our lives where we can level up. And so we're going to be talking about our marriages. We're going to be talking about our jobs. We're going to be talking about our finances. And we're going to be talking about our purpose in life over the next several weeks and how in those four key areas of our lives we can level up and we can move ahead and we can like, you know, Charlie Sheen, we can just be winning. You know, that's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. So today we're going to start this off and we're going to be talking about how to level up to that perfect marriage. So disclaimer as I start, I know this. I know there are people in the room and you are not married, okay? So I know that there's people who are single. There's teenagers in the room. Maybe you're here and you've been divorced. And so you're like, okay, Chris, another marriage message. So I'm going to get my phone out and it's time for me to, you know, evolve some Pokemon, you know, while you're talking about marriage. So don't do that, okay? Don't do that today if that's you, because there's going to be principles in what we're talking about that will help you and that will apply to you. If you're single and you want to get married someday, we're going to be talking about something that will help you. So, you know, and this is going to prepare you for marriage. So I guess the question is going into marriage, would you rather have taken a prep course or would you prefer to do the on-the-job training? I want you to take the prep course. So focus for that. If you're divorced and you've been through marriage and you've come out on the other side and things kind of fell apart, you know, maybe for you, this is just a good way to autopsy your marriage. Maybe you can look back and you can say, okay, yeah, that was something that we didn't get. And maybe you want to be thinking ahead towards the next time around. You want to get remarried, and so you want to do it right next time. You know, if nothing else, maybe you can listen for things that you can blame your ex on for doing wrong. If you're in the room and you don't plan on getting married, maybe getting married just doesn't sound great to you. Maybe you've been divorced and it is not something that you want to do again. Well, hey, you can listen because there's people in your life who are going to get married and you can give them good advice. And there's nothing that we like more than telling people what to do. So this is going to be good for you as well. So here's the thing. In order to learn how to play a video game correctly, in order to know how to play it and how to level up, the first thing you have to learn are some basics of the game. You have to learn what kills you and then what helps you. And then in order to level up, you need to do less of the first and more of the second. So in order to level up in a video game, you need to do more of the things that help you get ahead and less of the things that kill you. And if you can do that, then you're going to be able to level up in the video game. And that's what I want to do today. I want to take a look at marriage, and I want to look at one or two key things that will kill our marriages and that will help our marriages. And hopefully by the end of this coming out, we can say, okay, I need to do more of the thing that's going to help and less of the thing that's going to kill it. And by doing that, we can begin moving into a more perfect marriage. Now, another disclaimer, marriage is a big thing, okay? So I'm not gonna put like 50 things on the screen and say, this is everything you do for marriage and it's just exhaustive and you're like, oh gosh, Chris just stripped down marriage and made it amazing. I get every aspect of it. It's not gonna be that, but it is gonna be one crucial key thing that I think if we understand is the foundation of setting ourselves up for a healthy, loving, and successful marriage. So that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna talk about the things that will help your marriage, the things that will kill your marriage, and hopefully we'll do more of the first and less of the second. So we're going to take a look at a story from the life of Jesus. Now, you know, if you've been a Compass at all, you know, as Christians, Jesus is really the center of everything that we do. Jesus is teaching, the way he lived, what he did. I mean, he is it for us. And so every chance we can get, we're going to look at the life of Jesus to determine how we should live, what we should do, because we want to see how did Jesus live and what he did. And so we're going to look at a story from the life of Jesus out of Matthew chapter 19 to look at how we can develop a better marriage. And so in Matthew 19, it says this, that some Pharisees came and tried to trap Jesus with this question. And this is what they asked. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Okay, so guess what? I don't know if you knew this. This might blow your mind a little bit. But bad marriages are not just something that are a modern invention. Okay, bad marriages aren't just something that started, you know, in like the 1900s, and then it's like, oh my gosh, what happened? Bad marriages, believe it or not, have existed for thousands of years. In fact, I would say that as long as marriage has existed, bad marriages have probably existed along with it. Now, this story from the life of Jesus, this happens 2,000 years ago, and yet the Pharisees are asking Jesus a question that's directly related to the fact that there were bad marriages in Jesus's time. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on what the Pharisees are asking Jesus. So, okay, Jesus was a religious leader. He was coming up, but the things that Jesus taught, the way Jesus lived, it was shaking the foundations of the current existing religious power structure. And again, like when I say religious power structure, I'm talking about religion as a political force in a nation. And Jesus was coming up and his teachings were pointing people to God in ways that the religious authorities didn't necessarily agree with or that undermined their authority or undermined their power, and they didn't like it at all. And they were looking for every opportunity that they could to trip Jesus up, to get him into saying something that would make a bunch of his followers disavow him, to get him to say something that would be unpopular. Imagine like when Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton debate. I guarantee you the two of them are gonna try to get each other to say something stupid, that aha, gotcha moment. And that's what the Pharisees are doing to Jesus right now. They're trying to trip him up. And the reason that they ask him this question, should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for any reason, is because divorce was a hot topic in Jesus's time. Now again, divorce itself was the topic, but let's take a step back. Why? Because bad marriages were very real back in Jesus's day. And this is what kind of centered around this debate in Jewish culture at the time. Jewish law limited divorce, okay? And it limited divorce to this, to when a man finds something indecent about his wife. That was what Jewish law taught about divorce. And you know, the reason that Jewish law taught that is because Jewish law was religion, and it does what religion does in trying to deal with the reality of bad marriages. And religion tries to step in and mitigate the things that are creating bad marriages because it wants to make marriages good. And so religion creates a system of rules and expectations and guidelines. And Jewish law was just like that. And Jewish law said this, that a man could only divorce his wife for if she was indecent in some way. Now, that's not super clear, right? That's not incredibly specific. And so there were different schools that taught and believed different things. And they were rabbinical schools, called rabbinical because rabbis headed them up. And so different rabbis took different interpretations. Now, a large group of rabbis at the time, they said this. They said that when Jewish law says indecent, that means that the wife is being impure or doing something unfaithful sexually. Oh, and step back. So just so you know, like Jewish law, Jewish culture is very oriented around, it was a male-centered culture. And so when it says a man can divorce his wife, that was literally the rule. Like a woman could not just say, hey, I want a divorce. That didn't exist then. The man was the one who initiated it. So you don't throw tomatoes at me. I'm just saying what Jewish law was at the time, okay? And so a man, one group of teachers said this, you can divorce your wife if she is somehow impure or unfaithful or sexually indecent. That was one big group of teaching about marriage and divorce. Now, then there was a more liberal group of rabbis, and they taught this. They taught that no, that's not just it. You can divorce your wife for many more reasons than that. When Jewish law says indecent, I mean, that's not just cracking the window. That's a big window. And so, like, this is literally a quote from some of the rabbinical teachings, and they said this, is that a man can divorce his wife if she does the dishes in a way that displeases him. Yeah, okay. Imagine, you know, going before the judge, reading some court transcripts, and it's like, sir, why do you want to divorce your wife? Well, I mean, she doesn't do the dishes enough. Case closed, sir. You win all the money. Good job. Now, that was what this group taught, and it went so far, this more liberal school of rabbinical teaching, they went so far as to say this, is that if a man found a woman who was fairer than his wife, more attractive, more appealing to him, that because of that, his wife had done something indecent by not being fair enough, and so he could divorce his wife. And here's the thing, that statement essentially opened up the ability for a man to get a divorce to really just about anything. And so in all of this, in Judaism, there's this like tension and there's this fight and they're saying this. They're saying, no, you can't just get divorced for any reason. You can't divorce your wife because, you know, she put on a few pounds. You can't divorce your wife because she didn't do the dishes the way you wanted to. And you can't do that. And they were saying, no, it's only for sexual impurity. It's only she's unfaithful. And then there's guys saying, no, wait a minute. God gave us the option to have divorce and we can do it any way that we want. There's really no rules because, you know, we just decided this is how we want to do things. And in the middle of all of this is Jesus. Okay, now bear this in mind. Jesus answers this question one way, and he loses a whole bunch of followers who believe the other thing, right? To which the Pharisees are like, yeah, awesome. Jesus answers the other way, and he looks like he doesn't believe scripture the way it's taught in the Old Testament, and he loses a bunch of followers. He loses his religious credibility, and then a whole bunch of his followers leave on that side. And again, the Pharisees come ahead, and the Pharisees win. And again, these questions about marriage, it's not just something that we wrestle with in a modern culture. Jesus had to live in the middle of marriage questions. You know, the wrestling about marriage and the tension that we have felt really over the last several years about the conversation about marriage in our national culture, it is not something that is unique to us. Marriage was something that was wrestled with 2,000 years ago, and Jesus is pulled into the same type of cultural hot topic debate about what marriage is and about how marriage should and will end. So, this is what Jesus says in response to this question of shouldn't a man be able to divorce his wife for any reason? And he starts by saying this. He says, haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied. And so there's two things that I want to point out before we continue on in this, just in Jesus's question to the Pharisees that kind of give us a peek into Jesus's mindset and a peek into how Jesus is thinking. And the first thing that he's asking when he talks to the Pharisees is basically, he's saying this, he's saying, well, haven't you read the scriptures? The answer to this question has been there all along. Okay, the thing that Jesus is gonna say to the Pharisees in response, he's not making something up off the top of his head. He's saying this, he's saying, the answer to what you're asking, it's been there all along. And if you'd read the scriptures, if you read them correctly, you'd see it, it's been there. And then the second thing that we're gonna see in Jesus's question back to the Pharisees is this, is we're gonna get an understanding for Jesus's view of the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, because Jesus's answer shows us his belief in the Old Testament scriptures. It shows us the authority that they had for his teaching. And it shows us this, that everything that Jesus is going to say, and I would say not just in this story, but in every story, everything he's going to say is going to be consistent with what the Old Testament scriptures had taught to Jesus. So he says this, he says, haven't you read the scriptures? They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. So in Jesus's answer, we're gonna see two things. We're gonna see one thing that kills marriage, and we're gonna see one thing that helps marriage. And so if we're gonna level up, we gotta know what kills it, what helps it, and we gotta do less of the first and more of the second. And this is what Jesus says. He says, having read the scriptures, they record from the beginning, God made the male and female, explains why man leaves his father and mother and joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. I said that real fast, so I hope you caught up. The two are united into one. The thing that helps a marriage, that pushes it forward, that helps you to level up in your marriage, is being united into one. And then Jesus goes on and he says this, since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. What helps a marriage? Being united. What kills a marriage? Being separated, being split apart. Now, this is what Jesus taught. It's clear, it's right there. And I know this, though, that like some of you guys, like, I waited this long for that, Chris. I mean, that's pretty rudimentary, okay? That's pretty basic, okay? Obviously, you know, if we're united, our marriage is gonna be better. If we're separated, if we're split, there's gonna be a difference. But there's something that elevates this teaching for Jesus into something that's more than just common sense, into something that is more than just conventional wisdom. And to understand how this moves from something that's just common sense to something that Jesus passionately and desperately believes in, I want to take a look at a scripture that Jesus would have been very, very familiar with. I want to look at a scripture from the Old Testament that Jesus would have known, he would have recognized it, and it would have informed his view of marriage, informed his view of divorce, informed his view of what he was teaching. And I think if we can look at that, it'll give us a better picture of where Jesus' heart is in all this. In Malachi 2:15, the prophet Malachi is writing this message to the people of Israel. And again, I mean, bad marriages have existed for thousands of years. This is about 400 to 500 years before Jesus. And this is what Malachi says to the people then. He says, "Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his." There's a different translation of this verse that I think speaks to the heart of what Malachi is really saying, and I think speaks more to the heart of what Jesus understood about marriage than this. And in the English Standard Version, which is a translation that is more of a word-for-word translation as opposed to a thought-for-thought translation, this is what Malachi says. He says, "Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union?" When they were married, didn't God make them one? And how did he do it? He used a portion of his Spirit in their union. This is huge, because when Jesus says that you need to be united and not be split apart, it's not just talking about we got to try harder, we got to do better, we just got to spend more time together, and we got to find common interests. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not a psychologist. Jesus is speaking to the deeper issue, and that deeper issue is this, is that God's Spirit is the glue that holds a marriage together. God's Spirit is the thing that is introduced into a couple when they are married. God's Spirit is the thing that blends with a man and a woman on the day that they decide that they want to be married in the eyes of God. And when that happens, God's Spirit joins them together, and it's the glue that connects them and makes them from two into one. And when Jesus is saying this, that a man and wife need to be united to grow, and that they need to not be split, that nothing should split them apart. He's saying this, being united in marriage and not being separated is so important because of the one thing that makes the union happen, and that's the Spirit of God. But it's also the one thing that's violated the most when a marriage breaks. It's a thing that's violated the most when a couple separates and splits apart and when cracks start to happen. And it's not just the marriage relationship. It's the very glue that holds that relationship together. And it's the Spirit of God in a marriage. Okay, here's a guarantee. Now, this might step on some toes. That's not my intention, but here's a promise, okay? Whatever happens in your marriage, wherever you are, maybe you've already been through a divorce, but this is a guarantee. If there is a marriage where separation is starting to happen, where there are cracks that are forming, where there are two people who are starting to split apart instead of being unified, I guarantee you this, that at least one person in that marriage is not living their life in such a way to honor God. It's a guarantee. That at least one person in that marriage is living their life in such a way that they're not honoring God, that they're not seeking God, that they're not living their life in such a way that is surrendered and submitted to God in every way. And here's the thing, when that happens, the cracks of separation easily slip in because the glue that holds a marriage together is slipping and it's being let go of. But here's the other guarantee. A marriage where a man and a woman are committed to honoring God with their lives, where they are committed to living in a way that pleases him, committed to following Jesus with all that they have, in that marriage, the cracks of separation, I'll just say this, they're impossible. Why are they impossible? Because that couple is inviting the glue of a spiritual union of marriage to continually be invested into their lives. And when that happens, separation doesn't happen. It can't happen. Separation is impossible because God unifies and the absence of God separates. God unifies, the absence of God separates. And just for marriage, this is a main point, and this, boil it down, this is it. God unites a marriage and the absence of God separates it. God is the one who unites a marriage. And the absence of God is what allows the cracks of separation to come in. And the same thing that truly unites us in marriage, God's Spirit, is the same thing that must be present in order to sustain it and to let it grow. And as we play this game of life and we're trying to advance in our marriage and level up our marriages, we need to keep doing the same things that started us at the beginning. Because here's the thing, check this out. There's a big difference between getting married and being married, right? Like, getting married is easy. I mean, some of the brides are like, Chris, you don't know, okay? But getting married, I mean, you book the space, you know, you invite your friends, you get up and you say, I do. And like, and when that happens, man, when that happens, God's spirit comes in and two are bonded into one when you get married. And it's like, woo, we did it. Being married, on the other hand, that's more work. It's a different thing. It's a different thing than just standing up in front of people saying, I do. It's an ongoing process. You see, getting married is just starting the game. You know, getting married is just beating the first level. Being married is the process of continuing to play through and to level up and to beat the final level bosses that keep coming against you. Being married requires a work and effort and time. And the main thing it requires is the glue that bound you together in the first place. And it's the spirit and the presence of God. And if you're missing that ingredient, man, it doesn't matter how hard you try, the cracks of separation are more easily gonna happen because God unifies a marriage, God unites a marriage, and the absence of God creates separation. Okay, now some of you, there might be people in the room and you're like, Chris, I'm not a Christian, you know, and I'm just gonna be honest with you, like, my marriage seems fine. You know, I don't follow God and my marriage is fine. Or, you know, you're not a Christian and you're like, but Chris, I know lots of couples who aren't Christians and they don't follow God and you know, their marriages seem fine to me. And so like all the things you're saying, maybe that's true for people who go to church and need God, but like I just don't see what you're saying. Well, here's what I will tell you. I would argue that behind the curtains of all the beautiful homes in our community is a marriage crisis that would surprise you. I would argue that in the homes in our community, the big beautiful homes with the well-manicured lawns and the kids who play soccer and win trophies and go to the nice schools and their nice clothes and it looks like everything is, you know, Leave It to Beaver, put together, awesome, nice. I think you would be surprised at the marriage crisis that exists in Bloomington Normal. Now, I say that because a majority of the times that a person comes to me for counsel, it's related to marriage. I would say, even in the last couple of years, I'd say 95% of the people who've come to me going, Chris, I need help. My life is falling apart, that it's falling apart because the linchpin of their marriage has been pulled out. And their life is collapsing as a result of that. And I would tell you this. Understanding that the power of God, the Spirit of God, is what joins two people together. You know, I would say, would you rather mow your yard with a, you know, huge riding lawnmower? Or would you rather take care of your lawn with a pair of scissors? You can take care of your lawn with a pair of scissors. It's doable. It's possible. But why wouldn't you use that thing that has the power to do the job right and to get it done well? And my point is this, is that inviting God's spirit into your marriage, inviting God's spirit into your life first, and then inviting it into your marriage has the power to turn everything around because it has the power to unite. And you can try it without the power of God, and you can work, and you can struggle, and you can go to counseling, and you can do all of those things, and you might make it. You might be a success story, and man, I hope you are. But I'll tell you this, trying to stay together without the glue that really makes marriage work, it seems to me that you'd value your marriage more than that. What I want for us is, I want for us as a church first, I want for us as a church to have marriages that reflect the power and the love and the mercy and the humility of God. I want marriages that reflect mutual submission, being submitted to the needs of another person, looking out for their interests first. And as that happens in our church, so it could go into our community and that marriages could be transformed, not because we're so smart about marriage, not because, you know, we can write a great book or because we got great counseling services and we can help people talk it through in the best way possible. Those things are great, but we can change marriages in our community because we can point out the fact that the glue that binds a marriage together is the thing that is missing, and it's the Spirit of God, and it's His power, and it's His presence in a marriage. Man, when Calvin and I play video games and he's so far ahead of me and I'm behind and there's that separation between the two of us, dude, I want to throw my remote into the TV and like kick a hole in it and just be like, you're done. You're never playing video games again. Like, I just do. Because as we play, as we move forward in that level, he starts getting ahead of me and there's separation and there's space and the space creates frustration. And then the farther back I get and the farther ahead that he gets, eventually I'm gonna die. And as our marriages separate, as cracks develop, as things split and move farther and farther and farther apart, some of us already know this from painful experience, it causes death in a marriage instead of bringing life. And gosh, here's the thing. God brings life. Jesus brings life. And we want Jesus to bring life into your relationship. Getting married is just starting the game. Being married is finishing strong. Being married is leveling up. And if we wanna do the things that are gonna help us, we need to invest our marriages, invest our lives into knowing and being close to God. And we need to avoid the things that'll separate us from each other, and that's separation from God. God's got a plan for your marriage. God can put it back together. There's so many other things that can affect a marriage. And like, you may be sitting there thinking, yeah, but Chris, you don't know what he did. You don't know what she's done. You don't know how difficult and impossible it would be for us to put this thing back together. And that may be true. But I can promise you this. When you start by gluing together the foundation with the very thing that puts marriages back together, the very thing that makes marriage start, with the glue of the Spirit of God, anything is possible. And you stop nibbling around the edges of trying to fix the small problems on the outside that frustrate you, and you start dealing with the main thing. And that's inviting God's presence into your home, inviting Him into your marriage. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you, Jesus, that you lay out, Lord, guidance for us in every aspect and area of our lives, God, and that our marriages matter to you. They're important to you, Jesus. And so, my prayer for every single person in this room is this. I pray, Lord, that whether we're single, whether we are divorced, whether we are married, whatever it is, that God, in all of this, that you would capture our hearts. And Lord, that you would confirm to us in this moment, Lord, that your presence, a relationship with you, God, is the most crucial, important decision that we could ever make. It's the most crucial, important thing that we could ever focus on in our lives. If we want to level up our marriages and our relationships, that God, being close to you is everything. So what I pray for every married couple in this room today, I pray for our married couples who are struggling, who are having a difficult time. Jesus, whatever happened, whatever has gone on, whatever has led them to the point that they are at, Father, I pray that you would bring hope right now. Because the Spirit of God brings life and it brings healing and it brings hope. And God, that you can repair that which you put together in the first place if you are invited in. And so Lord, I pray with my friends who are struggling in their marriage, God, and I pray with them and I ask you to come into my marriage. Lord, I pray that you would bind us back together, that you would unify us. And Lord, the cracks of separation that we have allowed to develop by allowing ourselves to become separated from you, God, I pray that you would put those things back together. And as we invite God, as we invite you into our marriage, that you would unify us in a way that only you can. And that God, that ultimately you would bring us back to that point where nothing could separate us because you're so present in our relationship, God, that there can be no separation. Lord, I pray for those of us who are married, who we're doing good, we feel like we're on the right track. God, I pray that you would help us to be vigilant and to be on guard and to always be focused on putting you and your principles first in our lives. And as we do that, we would continue to build stronger and stronger marriage. And Lord, finally, I just pray this for our community. God, I pray for every married couple who sits quietly in their homes and argues under their breath, who's seeing someone outside of their marriage, but nobody knows. And then they go out into the world and everyone thinks they've got it together and everyone thinks that they're fine and their house looks good and their cars look good and their kids look good, but they're dying on the inside. Father, I pray that you would shine a spotlight into their marriages. And Lord, I pray that as your spirit moves through our community and God, through our church, as your spirit moves into people's lives, Lord, that you would rescue broken marriages and that you would prevent broken families, God, because that is not your heart. Your heart is life, not death. And we pray that you would speak life into the marriages in our community. And we pray that that would happen as your spirit moves into the families of Bloomington Normal. God, let us be a light that can shine your truth into our friends, into our family members, into the people we work with who may be struggling with this very issue. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, for the plan and purpose you have for our lives and our marriages. We pray it in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compasspn.com.